Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Venna Solutions. Today, we're talking about career paths, specifically the path from CFO to CEO, which is a move that many CFOs hope to one day make. But what does that path look like? It certainly requires more than just mastering the balance sheet. Being a CEO requires a unique blend of leadership finesse, strategic vision, and an appetite for risk. There are going to be unforeseen challenges and new skills that must be honed for a CFO to be able to be successful as a CEO. Wouldn't it be nice to learn about this from somebody who's already done it? Lucky for you, we have the perfect guest today. Joining me is Lincoln Greenridge, CEO of Sandfire Resources America. Lincoln, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Melissa. It's nice to be here.
So Lincoln, tell us a bit about your career path and sort of how it started and some of the key steps along the way that led you to where you are today.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. I'll try and keep it short.
Okay.
It's a long one. I guess in the 80s, I started in banking. I grew up on an island called St. Lucia in the Caribbean and spent 3 years there and moved to Ottawa, Canada about 34 years ago. I went to college, Algonquin College, got a business administration diploma, and then University of Ottawa, where I got my BCom degree in accounting. Then I worked at Coopers & Lybrand, which is, you know, merged with Price Waterhouse, and now it's PwC. Did that for about 3 or 4 years. Then I went into industry, and that's where I started understanding operations and manufacturing. Started at Nortel Networks, then MDS, which of course Nortel was the largest company in Canada at the time. And so that's high tech. And then I went to life science, MDS. That was also the largest life science company in Canada. After that, I had a brief stint, dry food products company called Associated Brands, made hot chocolate mix and various other products. And then I got the mining bug. Started at IAM Gold as corporate controller, and then Hudbay Minerals, also as a corporate controller. Energy Group, which is a company that wanted to be a global conglomerate in the lithium space and energy. I had also a lead mine. I became the CFO of LeadFX at that time. And LeadFX had a lead mine in Western Australia, Perth. North of. And then also became the CFO of LSE Lithium, which we sold in 2019 for $111 million. And then became CFO of Sandfire Resources, also Pasofino Gold. So lots of companies. But the progression was that I started in banking, went to Nortel as a financial foreign exchange analyst, then got promoted a few times there through management, FP&A. Also did the VP Finance and MDS, and then became CFO in various companies. After becoming the CFO of Sandfire, I became the CEO of Sandfire Resources America. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, what you know, my career path was. But I have to say that when you asked me the question about whether I want, you know, aspire to become the CEO, I think my response to you is that I've always aspired to become the CEO. And in doing so, I acted as if I was. And why, again, is to put myself in the shoes of the CEO as much as I could, obviously, to better understand what some of the challenges were so I can support the CEO. Because I believe that my purpose is to support the operation, not the other way around.
Excellent. And so you had a number of different experiences. And how critical do you think that that is to being able to eventually open that door to CEO?
Well, you know, I've worked in 6 different industries over the past 35 years. And one thing that's very clear is that from a finance standpoint, I should say as a starting point, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. The finance, there's no difference. The operations are different, obviously, the industry you're in. But from a finance standpoint, cash flow, you know, is cash coming in, cash going out? And the answer, the question, and the fundamental question is why? And how can you sustain it? From going from the CFO and these roles that I've had over the years, I think what they've helped me understand is, well, I've worked with many CEOs in different industries, and I've learned the do's and the don'ts because it's good to actually see how people operate, how they lead. And I think that's sort of helped me quite a bit in taking on the CEO role.
And what are some of those don'ts that you've learned along the way?
You don't know everything. So don't act as if you do, because sometimes people are full of themselves. that's a don't in a totalitarianism way where your way is the only way. You do have the last say, but you should listen more. So that's a do. Talk less, that's a do as well. But don't talk as much as you would like, just to, you know, love that sound of your voice. So that's a don't. These are the things that I've learned not to do. And well, the do's are quite endless. So I've seen a lot of people do lead very well as well. So again, that's been a great experience for me. And I think to answer your question, that has probably been one of the most significant parts of working in various industries, so that I can tell people I've had the experience of working with some great leaders in different industries. And ultimately, it's all the same. It's about leading people and motivating them.
And so let's talk about, as you started transitioning into the CEO role, did you feel that you had the skill sets you need, or where there were any gaps, what did those look like?
Again, in my opinion, the CEO's role, a chief role, if you will, is to inspire and motivate the employees and the management team in order to actually achieve the goals. That is something that I did, if you will, but in a smaller scale. Certainly from a CFO standpoint, you would do it with the finance team. But I didn't just do it with the finance team. I tried, and hopefully people who work to me can attest to that. For me, finance is an outcome, or the numbers are an outcome of what is done in the operations. So ensuring that the operations team understood why, or I understood why they were doing what they were doing and how it aligned, and how we could support, that was sort of important for me. And, you know, I'm saying from my perspective, I think I had the skills from a leadership standpoint, because it's not, you know, you don't just all of a sudden become the CEO and become a leader. Hopefully you should at least have leadership skills when you become a CEO. So I don't think that was a challenge. The gap would be that the scope of the role was now much wider, because instead of just being focused from a CFO standpoint and you have a responsibility for finance, now you have a responsibility for the whole company and the organization. And so that's the only gap that existed. But where it's made it much easier is that the relationship I had with the operations team has always been there. So now it's more of responsibility change, but the leadership and motivating did not change. So at least that's from my perspective.
And so maybe just to dig a little deeper then into sort of the steps and that progression that you're talking about, you'd had leadership.
Yes.
Maybe just to unpack a bit of, you know, the evolution of where you were and sort of some of the moves you'd made through right. The career at a high level. And then it sounds like you were responsible for finance. You had, yes. were leaning quite a bit into operations. But, you know, maybe how did that role, because the finance role might have even grown beyond pure finance right before going into leadership.
Absolutely.
So maybe you help us understand a little bit about how you'd expanded some of that knowledge, getting yourself ready.
Yeah. I think one of the failings for us as finance professionals, because I still consider myself to be a finance professional, it's just a natural thing that we do, but is that we tend to look at finance in a silo. And to me, it's not. Finance is really, as I said, a support function. You know, what makes the company succeed is everyone in the operation, people that provide the goods and services, goods or services. So to be a good finance professional, you need to understand the operations. So it's not a silo, it's actually one. Understanding the operations is important. So to answer your question, I didn't think of it as, well, oh, there was finance and then, you know, I got some operational experience. No, I say that if you have finance without operational experience, then you're missing a significant part of what it takes for you to support the organization and for you to get going to the CEO role, because you don't just jump from the CFO to CEO without fully having a grasp of the operations, what the challenges are and so forth. And of course, all the challenges that you have, almost all, have a cash flow impact, which is finance related.
Absolutely. It all comes back to cash, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely.
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the intelligent platform for complete planning. Vena's award-winning platform makes financial and operational planning more efficient, unlocks performance, and increases financial intelligence across the business, so finance teams and business leaders can plan for anything. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
And so was there any part, because some you would naturally feel like you understand more or they're just easier to get, be that the technical side or the go-to-market yes. side. Was there any particular area that you felt less comfortable with and had to shore up with leadership, or how did that look?
You know, dealing with investment bankers, that's probably, you know, the one that is more of a challenge because, you know, they have their own spin on things. And my only spin is how do we actually provide value in terms of cash flow? And sometimes you have to navigate other competing requirements or people's sort of ways of looking at how they value the company and so forth. So that's really the only one area I would say that has been a challenge. Other than that, it just seems to come natural because if you stick with the fundamentals, you understand that what drives cash generation, then I think you should be fine.
Excellent. Yeah, it is good to sometimes remind ourselves of the basics.
The basics, yeah.
What has been the biggest challenge moving into the CEO seat?
It's always people, actually. Yeah, it's always people. As I say, when you move into a CEO role, I would say more than 80% of your role is really about people because company success is driven by people. And when you're now responsible for a larger group, not just a finance group, it's a challenge in itself because that is your focus and your different personalities. You can't manage and everyone the same. Inspiring and motivating people is always based on who the individual is. And I can tell you, every individual in management team or their own reports are all different. So, and they need to be led differently, motivated differently. And that's probably the greatest challenge because it's not a cookie cutter. If you could do a cookie cutter approach to leading, I think you're not putting people first.
What about any coaching or development strategies that you'd recommend? If we have CFOs who aspire to be a CEO one day, what should they be doing now?
I wrote a book called No More Excuses just earlier this year. And in that book, I talk about purpose. I think number one, the CFO needs to understand that his or her role is, and everyone actually, his role is to serve. So that's the purpose. So if you are serving, and you understand that that's your role, your responsibility, your life's purpose is to serve, then you need to figure out whether you can do so with a passion, whether you love what you do. The CFO should understand if you're serving, then you need to understand who you're serving and what are the needs. Now, in a CFO role, obviously the needs are to understand what the company's vision is, what the strategy is, what the goals are, and whether or not what that CFO is doing and the team doing is aligned with those. That's important. So if anyone CFO is listening now, they should go back and ask themselves these questions. What are the goals and what we're doing as a finance team, whether or not is aligned with those goals? Because most people just go through the motion of CFO, you know, of whatever that needs to be done, cash management, whatever it is. But the question in specificity is, what are we doing? Reporting, dealing with investors. What are we doing? Is it how important it is in order to meet the goals and achieve the goals? So that's, to me, number one. And the second one is, we should always go above and beyond. Just doing the bare minimum is not good enough. Because if you do that, then you're not leading really by example. And when you get to the CEO role, then you're probably setting yourself up for failure because there's no rest. There's absolutely no rest when it comes to being the CEO. You know, you always, it's a full-time job. I mean, really, it is.
Plus some. Yes. Full-time plus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they always say it's lonely at the top.
It is.
When you get to the CEO role, that is the top job.
Yes.
And so in terms of that, because I imagine prior to that, you had different outlets, different confidants, different ways that you could think through things with individuals. You know, what changed there? And maybe what have you done to, you know, build out those support systems for yourself or just find different ways to adapt to that new reality?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I always thought of myself as being a CEO. So in my first memos that I wrote, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they were written as if I was a CEO. So I wrote about my vision. Seriously, I wrote my vision to management or to the executive team. And I say, here's my vision and here's how it aligns with the overall vision. You know, that's how I wrote it. So there wasn't much of a leap for me becoming a CEO other than the fact that I just continue to rely on mentors that I had before I became CEO. And those mentors have been CEOs for many, many years. So that makes it much easier. So I would say to any CFO who wants to become a CEO, then they should have mentors and those mentors should actually be CEOs already. So you can bounce ideas off them and get that, learn from their experiences because, you know, I think it's much easier to learn from other people's experiences than your own, if you can.
Absolutely. That's great advice to build out. Though mentorship is so important for any, well, I think everybody should have mentors but becomes really critically important, especially as you're making the transitions like you have. So
yes.
After sitting in the CFO seat, must have been a little interesting now building a new relationship with the new CFO as you were transitioning yourself into the CEO. Tell us a bit about what that looked like.
Yes, it is. So I'll tell you what, and you know, that's my note to all CFOs is that if and when you become a CEO, you should refrain from thinking that you are still the CFO because that's never a fun thing, right? You know, for the new CFO coming in because it's a natural thing, right? You've been doing it for so many years. In your mind, sometimes you probably think, why do I need a CFO? I can do both. And I think that's a feeling that, but I hopefully, you know, and you could ask him, I've done not a bad job in letting the new CFO, you know, do his thing. But know that he can count on me, even as a mentor as well, because of me being in that role before. I think that's, it is a challenge because, you know, I see things and I say, well, why don't you just do it this way?
Can't help ourselves.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You just, right. You can't help yourself. But it's good to be cognizant of the fact that, yes, you know, you should be there as a mentor because you should never forget or lose, the skills that you have for many years as a CFO. But when you hire a CFO, allow that person to do what, you know, what you've hired them to do. I think that's in any role you should do that. But that's the only thing challenge in my head. But I think I've hopefully gotten through this in my mind and hopefully it's demonstrated in how I work with the new CFO.
And so you wrote a book, which is a unique thing for a CFO. So tell us a bit about that.
Yes, it wasn't really a bucket list, but I've always joked with my friends that I, you know, about writing a book. And I thought, well, this was an opportune time. And it's called No More Excuses. And really it's about, and the tagline is taking the first step to living a life of purpose with meaning. And you would say, well, all the articles I've written about finance related, right? Management, cash flow and so forth. And so how did I end up writing a book that's completely removed from finance? Well, no matter what role you're in, whether you're CFO or CEO, it's all about being your authentic self. And to be your authentic self, you got to live with purpose. You got to understand why you're doing what you're doing and don't make excuses for not doing it. If you know what your purpose is, which is to serve, then you should go ahead and do it. Don't make excuses. And, you know, I've heard all the excuses. It's not my job. I'm not paid to do it. These are not the excuses you need if you want to succeed, whether you want to be the CEO or not. To me, anything that you can do to support the organization, you should do. And you shouldn't make excuses. So that book is really about not making excuses, not talking about waiting for God for a sign, which is the first chapter. Because the signs are always there. If you actually open your mind and you have a desire to go above and beyond.
And I hear you may be working on another. Anything you can share on that?
Well, it was supposed to be called Purpose. But a month or so ago, I decided to call it Think because the world seems to be in disarray. So the book is called Think. And the cover of the book has a box. And the tagline is, when it comes to critical thinking, there is no box. Because, and I think that there's an alignment actually with being a CFO or any role, is that critical thinking is important. You need to critically think about why you're doing it, what you're doing it, and how. But the why is most important, because if you don't understand the why and you don't dig into why, you know, they tell children, you know, children normally ask why and then the parents say, you know, just because. No, it's not just because. There has to be a reason. And if you don't understand the reason why you do what you do and how it sort of aligns with the goals and the strategy, then you're really not putting your mind to work and you're not thinking. So that's where that book is sort of driving towards, talking about people need to think about the why.
Well, I can't wait to read it. So looking forward to it. Lincoln, thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your insights, your experience, some really great ideas there. Now, whenever we have a guest on the show, we do like to give them two rapid-fire questions.
Sure, please go ahead.
Are you ready?
Absolutely, all the time.
So what is the best piece of business or leadership advice that you've ever received?
Be yourself. One should be yourself. You know, people talk about being authentic. You know, I hear the word all the time, but authenticity means just being yourself. Trying to be someone else never actually achieves much. And, you know, you may be considered a fraud sooner or later. So just be yourself.
Good
That's
advice.
That's the best advice. And I've always been myself and it's worked out, even though people sort of surprise the things I say and do. But it's me.
Excellent. And is there something that you do in your personal life that helps you be your best you in your work life?
Walking my dog. Well, it's actually my daughter's dog, but it's a long story. Walking Rocky does keep me, that's when I do most of my thinking, actually. Some people do it in the shower, but I walk my dog.
Excellent.
And that helps me, you know, just think through certain things I have to do during the day because I walk the dog first thing in the morning and in the evening.
Lucky dog. What kind of dog is it?
A Bichon Frise.
Oh, yeah, cute. Yeah. Well, what a fantastic way to close. Again, thanks so much for being with us today. That will do it for today's episode of The CFO Show. For more information about today's episode, please see the links in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to or watch your podcasts. You don't want to miss an episode. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.